Welcome to the MRBC podcast. Let's join our new pastor, Jeremy Rands, as he discusses the importance of not being a servant to this world.
1 Samuel chapter number 27. We find a story here in the Bible in David's life. David has already defeated Goliath, and he is now running from King Saul. We come to verse number 1 in chapter 27, and David said in his heart, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand." And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. Skip over just a few verses, if you would please, in verse number 8. "And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites, the Gezerites, the Amalekites, for those nations were of old inhabitants of the land, as they goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land, and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep, and the oxen, the asses, and the camels, and the apparel, and returned, and came to Achish. And Achish said, 'Whither have ye made a road today?' And David said, 'Against the south of Judah, and against the south of Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites.' And David saved neither man nor woman alive, to bring tidings to Gath, saying, 'Lest they should tell on us, saying, So did David, so and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines.' And Achish believed David, saying, 'He hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever.'" Let's pray this evening and we'll get right into our message. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful that you've allowed us to be in your house today. And I pray now as we get into your word that you would teach us something, that you would encourage us, that you would help us tonight to draw closer to you, become more like Christ. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. We understand, I would think, in a Sunday evening service, the majority that are here understand what's happening in David's life. Now, David, let me remind you that David is already anointed king. David is one that was there playing the harp and watching the his sheep of his father, and Samuel comes to the house to anoint a king. He goes through all of David's brothers only to find that none of them that came before David were the ones to be king, but it was David that God was after. And David enters into the house, and God tells Samuel that's the one, and David is anointed king that day. That changed David's life. Everything about David's life changed. He thought maybe he was going to go back and tend to his father's sheep. From that day forward, though, God had a plan and something specific that he had for David. We know this, that David now, from that point forward, is going to become king. Nothing's going to change that. How do we know that David's going to become king? Because God is the one that told Samuel to anoint David. If it was done of Samuel's doings, if it was done of another man's doings, we might doubt if this is this what David has, is this what's right for David's life. But we know this, that David is going to become king because God said he was going to become king. And when God says something, nothing can change that, only God can. And so we find that David is going to become king. We find just a few chapters later that there's a war with the Philistines. Now, who remembers where Goliath is from? Gath. He's a Philistine. He's from the area of Gath. The Bible tells us in chapter number 17 of 1 Samuel Goliath is from Gath. And David comes onto a battle with Israel and the Philistines. And he gets there, and he's not there to do anything other than be obedient to his father. His father, if you remember the story, says to David, "I want you to go and find out how your brothers are doing. I want you to give them some food. I want you to give them some gifts. And I want you to find out how they're doing. Come back and report to me. I want to hear good news about your brothers in this battle." David gets to this battle, and he sees his brothers, and he sees the armies of Israel. And then he hears, in the distance, he hears this giant Goliath come out and begin to curse God. And as that giant comes out, all of Israel hides. All of Israel flees. They flee into the mountain area. They flee into their tents. And they're afraid because of one man that's cursing God and challenging Israel. This man is from Gath. We know the story. David goes out and he takes a stone and he puts that stone in a sling, and the giant comes tumbling down. And David, through God's help, has a great victory that day. They begin to sing of David, that David had killed his tens of thousands and Saul has killed his thousands. And Saul becomes jealous of David. Saul brings David into the castle and the kingdom there, David plays for Saul, and David begins to fear Saul. Saul throws a javelin at David, and David eventually has to run for his life. And we come to verse number 27, and David said in his heart, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul." You know, I believe this is one of the saddest verses in the Bible here, because David gets to a place where he doesn't believe God, and he is putting his life in the hands of a man, not realizing Saul has no power over David's life. And David becomes discouraged. You ever been discouraged? You ever get to the place in life where things might not make sense and you don't understand what's going on, and it causes you discouragement? I believe David here is discouraged. He says in his heart that what God has for me isn't going to happen because Saul is in the way. Let me just say this before I even get into the meat of this message here. What God has planned for your life, man cannot change. Saul has no power over David. David was wrong in thinking that Saul could keep him from living, keep him from doing what God anointed him to do. And David does something that's just so bizarre in my mind. Of all the places that David could go to flee from Saul, he goes to Gath. He goes to the place that he once destroyed their giant. It was the people of the Philistines, the people of Gath, that cursed his God. It was David that said to his brothers, "Is there not a cause?" when they heard Goliath cursing God. It was the people of Gath. And now David finds himself going to the Philistines and going to Gath for safety. Now, what safety could he have in Gath? You know, it was interesting as I thought through this passage of Scripture, how did David feel comfortable in Gath? You know, in Gath, they weren't worshiping God. In Gath, there was not a place for David to go and learn about God. They weren't worshiping the God of Isaac and Jacob and Abraham. They weren't worshiping David's God. They were opposed to David's God. But David found himself there. You know, as I read through this passage of Scripture, I come to the thinking of this. You know, many a times we as Christians, if we're not careful, the world can become very enticing to us. You know what the thing we ought to fear as Christians in this time period is? Apathy. We get to the place where the things of God maybe don't matter like they once used to. We get to the place where the excitement of serving God, maybe some trials have come in, maybe some problems have come in, maybe there's some situations that we come to the place where we say, you know what, I just don't know if it's worth it. Maybe fear comes in. David's afraid, so he makes a decision out of fear. David, though, in some way, he thinks in his mind, he's better in the place of the Philistines in Gath than he is in God's will. It's a dangerous place to be. I want to preach a message to you tonight, just becoming a servant to the world. The Philistines, where David went, is a picture of the world. David going not to God, but away from God. We know that David is anointed king. We know that God has a plan for David's life. We know that David feared Saul and he fled to the land of the Philistines. We know all that leading up to verse number 1. Including verse number 1, we know some things about David's life. The Bible says that David went to the land there, the Philistines. Now I want you to take note here in verse number 5. "And David said unto Achish, I have now found grace in thine eyes. Let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee?" You know, when I read that portion of Scripture, it causes me to feel for David. Here's David the king. Here's David, the anointed king. He says to the Philistine here, "Why should I dwell in the royal city?" It's like David's lost all hope. You know, the first thing I see in this passage of Scripture, when we become a servant to the world, when we get to the place where our thinking isn't correct, when we get to the place where our heart isn't where it needs to be, when we get to the place where we begin to doubt God, when we get to the place where we get too close to the world, some things happen. And the first thing I see that happened in David's life is here, that's caused David to see himself less than who he really is. You know, I want to say to David in this portion of Scripture here, I want to get to David and shake David and say, David, you are a child of the King. You don't deserve to be in some place off in the country, some faraway place, out of sight and out of mind. No, he is a child of the King. If anyone deserved to be in the royal city, it was David. Maybe not necessarily the city here in the Philistines, the royal city, but the royal city of Israel. David was anointed king. God had a plan for David. You see, what happens is this. A lot of times, if we're not careful, our time with God can get stale. Our prayer life can get stale. Our Bible study can get stale. Our service to the Lord can get stale. There's a lot of things that will cause us to be very apathetic in our walk with the Lord. And we'll start to see that it's better to dwell in the land of the Philistines than to serve God and be where he wants us to be. You know what we need more than ever are Christians that are willing to stand in this day. We need more than ever Christians that are willing to fight for the things that are right in the day we live in. I know all throughout history, it's never been easy to be a Christian. I realize this, that they put Christ on the cross, and Christ said this, they're going to persecute you and kill you because they did that to me. They're going to do it to you as well. And I realize this, it's never been easy to be a Christian, but I believe this, that God is going to send Christ real soon to come to get his church, and the rapture is going to take place. And before that happens, we all understand this, there's persecution's going to come, and difficulty is going to come, and we need to stay strong and stand for the things that are right. The land of the Philistines, the things in this world, if anything, Christian, we need to get deeper into the Word of God, not farther from the Word of God. We need to get deeper in our walk with God, not farther from our walk with God. We need to get deeper in our prayer life, not farther, few and far between in our prayers. We need to get deeper in our service to the Lord, not farther in our service. We need to get deeper in our giving toward the things of God, not farther away. We need to get more active in doing right what God has for us, not get out into the world. You know, there's nothing, this world has nothing to offer us as Christians. And the Philistines had nothing to offer David. But for some reason, David got it in his mind that the Philistines, the land of the Philistines, was where he needed to be. And David got there, and it caused him to see himself as less than what he really is. And you know, getting into the world and getting a farther away from the Lord, it's going to cause you to see yourself less than you really are. You're a child of the King. As we preach this morning, there's power in that. It's going to cause you to see less than you are. It's going to cause you to think that you're not important. Listen to me, you are important to God. You are important because you're his child. You know, when my children need attention, I hope and I pray they know that they can always come to Dad for attention. Matter of fact, there is nothing much I like more than getting a hug by one of my little girls. You know, when I come home in the evening or in the afternoon, wherever it might be, and I get close to the house and I pull up out front, it's like they hear me coming and they come to that door and they're there waiting and they jump into my arms, and there's nothing like hearing I love you. There's nothing like holding one of your children. There's nothing like spending time with the people you love. You know, my kids don't worry about eating. They don't worry about being clothed. Why? Because they're my children. That's my responsibility. They understand if there's a need, I just have to ask Dad. Listen to me, the devil will want you to get to the place where he gets you to think that you're not worthy, that the God doesn't care, that your needs aren't important. But you need to realize tonight that if you're a child of God, God cares for you. Your needs are important, and he wants to hear from you. But David came to the place where David saw himself as unimportant. He said to the king here, just give me a place out in the country. Just get me away from the royal city. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be in this royal city. I just deserve just something out in the countryside where no one sees me, where no one thinks about me. And that's exactly where Satan will cause us as Christians to get to, where we think that we're not important. I want to submit this to you this evening. You are important to God, and God does have a plan for your life, and God does want to use you so that he can receive glory from your life. But David here says, get me to the countryside. I want you to see with me in verse number 9. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen, the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. You know, something interesting about this. You know, getting into the world and becoming a servant to the world, it causes you to be someone that you're not. This is David, who would not kill Saul. You know, David had the opportunity at one point in his life to make all his problems go away. Matter of fact, I think there was two opportunities that David had where he could have killed Saul. He was in the cave. He was close to Saul. It was his company that was around them that said, David, here's your opportunity. Matter of fact, I think they said, God's put him in your hand. And David said, oh, no, 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 I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. I'm not going to take an opportunity that's not mine to take. I'm not going to have Saul's blood on my hand because I know that it's not right. David was not a murderer. David was not a killer. But we find that David, when he went into the land of the Philistines, he started going out and he killed men and women and everything that came in his path. He became someone he never thought he'd become. Listen to me, getting away from God and getting away from God's word, getting away from a walk with God, it can cause you and it will cause you to be someone that you never thought you would be. You know, I've counseled some folks at times where they've said, Pastor, I have no idea how I got to this place in my life. I was faithful in church. I was serving the Lord. I was witnessing. I was in my Bible. I was having a right prayer life, and something began to change, and I got away from the Lord, and I got away from spending time with God, and I got away from my devotional life, and now I'm involved in something I never dreamed I'd be involved in. Listen to me, there's many Christians that are discouraged this evening because they got involved in things they never thought they would get involved in. David here in these verses became a murderer for about a year and 4 months. The Bible says that he went up and down this area and he killed everything in his path. He began to kill innocent people. Why? Because David got too close to the world. You know, Satan would do everything he can to get you away from the things of God and close to the world. Get you to a place in your life where you become something you never thought you'd become. You know, there's not a man I wouldn't think in this room that sets out to commit adultery. I hope there's not a woman here in this room that says, it's my plan, it's my desire, I'm going to commit adultery. I've counseled people, marriages that have been broken and marriages that have just been wrecked by sin. And I've listened to both parties involved and they said, I never thought it'd get to this place. I never thought I'd ever commit adultery. I never thought I'd become a drunk. I never thought I'd be addicted to drugs. I never thought I'd be addicted to gambling. I never thought I'd get involved in the sin I'm involved in. I don't know how I got here. Christian, tonight, getting close to the world and away from God, it'll cause you, like David here, to be what you never thought you'd be. When David was there tending his father's sheep, I doubt he ever thought he'd become a murderer. When David was there tending his father's sheep and taking care of his father's business, he probably never dreamed that he'd spend his days killing innocent people. When David was there, even when David heard Goliath cursing God and defiling the living God, and he killed Goliath, he probably never thought he'd kill an innocent person. David has come to a place and time in his life where he became someone he never thought he'd be. And I want to warn us as Christians this evening, we must realize this, that we're not better than David. We are flesh and we are blood, and it is our responsibility to stay close to God, and we need to have a fervent prayer life, a fervent study in the Word of God, a fervent devotional life, a fervent walk with God, so that we don't find ourselves out in the world and doing things we never dreamed we'd do. I find in this portion of Scripture as well, in verse number 10, if you'd look with me there. And Achish said, what have you made? Whither have you made a road today? And David said, against the south of Judah, against the south of the Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath. Here we have David coming home and coming back to the Gath, and Achish there, this wicked man, this Philistine.
I can see him saying, David, where have you made a road today? Meaning this, David, who have you killed today? David, what have you done today? David, who have you just annihilated today? He wants David to become what David's not supposed to be. He knew that David was anointed king. He knew that David was supposed to be king. They said of David just a few chapters later, when it was time to go to battle against Israel, they said of David, no, David's the one they sang, that David killed his tens of thousands and Saul killed his thousands. They knew who David was. They knew that David had an anointing on his life. They knew that David was special. They knew that David had something God had for his life. And Achish wanted David not to be serving God, but he wanted David to be as far away from God as possible. Because Achish understood this: as far away from God as David can be, the better we will be. And listen to me tonight, Christian, the farther you are away from God, the world wants you there and Satan wants you there. He doesn't want you active, as we preached this morning about being a helper and sharing the gospel. Satan can't have your soul. You've already been saved if you're a child of God, but he wants to keep you from sharing the gospel with everyone else. If he could just get you to a place where you're living apathetic, if he can get you to a place where you're living in this world, where he can get you to a place where the things of God are not important, if he could just get you to a place where you become someone you never thought you'd be, and if he could get you to the place here in verse number 10 where David was, where you begin to seek the wrong accolades, that's exactly where Satan wants you to be. David was going to Achish here and hearing, well done, good job. But it should have been God that David was hearing, well done, good job from. David was satisfied getting accolades from an unsaved man. David was satisfied in seeking accolades and hearing well done from a man that was against God, an enemy of God, a king of the Philistines. David was comfortable in seeking hearing well done from someone other than God. Oh, Christian, may we never get to the place where we're comfortable in seeking well done from someone other than God. The things in this world have nothing to offer us. You know, as I pray for my children, I pray often, God, help them not to be enticed by the things of this world. Help them not to find joy in the things of this world. Help them not to find comfort in success in the things of this world, but may they keep their eyes upon you. May they keep their hearts upon you. May they hear from you, well done, thou good and faithful servant, not someone in this world. You see, David was getting close to the world that caused him to see himself as someone less than he really was. It caused him to see be someone he really was not. It caused him to seek wrong accolades. In verse number 12, and Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him, or hate him, despise him. This also is a sad verse here. Achish believed David. It was like Achish said, finally, he's where I want him to be. David's not going to become king. You know, they feared David. When all the kings of the Philistines, and just a couple chapters later, if you were to study ahead, you'd find that all the kings of the Philistines came to fight Saul in Israel. They didn't fear Saul. But when David passed by, they said, who is this David? We don't want him with us. And David just had himself and 600 men. And all of the Philistines feared David. They said, if we get into a battle and Israel begins to win and David changes his mind and he doesn't want to be on our side anymore, David could turn on us. And if David turns on us, the battle will turn on us. And David and Israel have the victory. And here we find Achish believing in his heart that David is one of them now. You know, by being close to the world, by being a servant to this world, David, it's caused David to find confidence in the wrong person. He should not have sought to find confidence in Achish. He should have always been finding confidence in God. And listen to me this evening, we need to find confidence in God. We need to find confidence in the things of God and in God's word. We should not be looking for this world to find confidence in things of this world. Here, David, as long as Achish was saying, David, good job, David was ready to go. David was seeking it from the wrong person. You see, by being close to the world, by getting away from the things of God, by being apathetic for the things of God, we'll begin to seek confidence in the wrong things. What drives you? What drives you? What do you love to hear? Where are your passions? You know, I love to hear "I love you" from my wife. I love to hear my wife tell me things that I enjoy hearing. I love when my wife says, "Hey, that was a great message. I needed that, and I appreciate that." I love to hear my wife say, "That was a good decision, and I'm glad you made it." I enjoy my wife having confidence in me. And listen to me, there's times that we seek confidence in the wrong people, but we need to be sure that we are seeking the confidence of God, not the confidence of man. What keeps you motivated and keeps you going? What causes you to feel that you've got a purpose in life? Here David comes back and he hears from Achish. He believed David. He said, "David, you're doing a great job. You're making roads and you're clearing paths and you're making a name for yourself, but you're making a name for yourself against Israel and against the God of Israel and for us." And that was the opposite that David should have been doing. You know, I find this, David, look in the last part of verse number 12. Achish said this, "Therefore, he shall be my servant forever." What a sad verse. David, you're king. David, God has a plan for your life. David, in your living room, in your home, just a few years ago, there's a man named Samuel, and Samuel took that oil and anointed you with that oil and proclaimed that you are going to be the king. David, God's hand is upon you. God's got a plan for your life. He wants to take Israel and grow Israel and bless Israel, and he wants you to become king. A matter of fact, David, he wants Jesus Christ to come from your line and lineage. He's got great plans for you. But Achish says, "He's going to be my servant forever. He's going to be my servant forever." You see, sin will cause you to be in bondage. Getting into the world and away from God will cause you to be in bondage. You see, Achish had David exactly where he wanted him. He said, "David's gone through and killed innocent people, and he's working for us now, and he's a servant to us now, and he's going to be my servant forever." But we need to realize this, that God had another plan for David. The world wants you and I to be in bondage to this world. Satan wants us to be in bondage to him. But we need to realize this, that God has a plan for our life, and bondage to the things of this world is not his plan for us. While David was there in the land of the Philistines, he wasn't doing what God needed him to do. God needed a man of God that would stand up for the things of God. God needed a man that would be faithful in watching his father's sheep the way he's supposed to. God needed a man that would pick up a stone and defeat Goliath and say, "Oh no, you're not going to defy the living God." God needed a man that would stay faithful to him. God needed a man that would write the Psalms. God needed a man that would be king. God needed a humble man. And what he got here from David is someone that was in bondage to sin and the things of this world. You know, there's so many Christians living today that God has something for, but they're in bondage to the things of this world. You know what I pray for teenagers, that they realize this, that God has a plan for their life. They do not have to be in bondage to the things of this world. But Satan is so good at it, isn't he? Causes sin to look so good. He causes the things of this world to look so good. And that's exactly where Satan wants us to be. Right where David was here in verse number 12. He thought he's a servant to the world forever. A servant to the Philistines forever. But I'm so glad that God had other plans for David's life. Achish did not have more power than God had. The things of this world did not have more power than God had. The Philistines did not have more power than God had. God had an anointing on David's life. Well, listen to me this evening, if you're here and you're involved in sin and there's some things and you think no one knows about it, nobody understands what I'm going through, and I'm hiding it from everyone, I'm hiding it from my family, I'm hiding it from the pastor, I'm hiding it from my Sunday school teacher, I'm hiding it from my Christian friends, I'm hiding it from my boss, and nobody knows about it, I want to say this to you tonight. It's caused you to be in bondage, and it's going to cause you to do things you never thought you'd do. And that's not where God wants his children, in bondage to the things of this world. Christ came so you could be free. Free from the sin, free from the things of this world, free from the bondage of this world. And when God saved you, he's got something special for you. And it's not to live in the land of the Philistines. It's to live being what God wants us and calls us to be. Oh, Christian, it ought to excite us to know this, that God has a plan for our life. It ought to cause us to be excited tonight to know that God has a desire for us, and it's not to live in sin, it's not to live in bondage, it's not to live in the land of the Philistines or in this world, or to be a servant to the things of this world, but God wants us to rise above those things and do great and mighty things for his name's sake. You know, it excites me to know that we can reach a community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can. You know, it excites me to know, you know, all the news reports and those that think they know what they're talking about say it's difficult to build a church, that people aren't interested in America, that people aren't interested in the Word of God, that people aren't interested in truth. But you know what I find this? People are interested in truth. It might not necessarily be easy to build anything for God, but God is victorious and we need to serve him and we need to do what's right, and God will bless. Even in Ohio, God can raise up a great church. Even in America, God can raise up a great church. It's not dependent on what happens in politics. It's not dependent what happens in our government. It's not dependent what's happening around this world. God said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, listen to me. God is still seeking those that will surrender themselves to him so he can do great things. God's still in the miracle business. God's still in the saving business. The Bible still says that the fields are wide under the harvest, but the laborers are few. Oh, Christian, could you imagine with a crowd like this that would be committed to saying, I'm going to reach my Jerusalem and I'm going to reach my world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Satan can't stop me and the world can't stop me because I've got the calling of God on my life and I'm going to do what's right. Imagine if every Christian was right with God, what God could do. Pastor Yezel, could you imagine that? If every Christian, if every member, every saved person at Monclova Road Baptist Church said, I am going to live for God, not be a servant to this world, imagine what could happen. Imagine what God could do. Well, if we use the life of David, what can happen is this, that God can forgive. And God can set David upon the throne. And through that, a baby is born, conceived of the Holy Spirit. And his name is Jesus, the great Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. David, yes, you've run from Saul and you've gone into the world and you thought that was a better plan, and you've done some things that you never thought you'd do, and you became what you had never thought you became, and you're looking for the wrong accolades, and you're looking for confidence in the wrong area, and you're in bondage for a period of time. But I'm so glad, and I say to you tonight that God is a God of second chances, and God is a forgiving God, and it doesn't matter. Maybe you've been in sin for a period of time. God can forgive you, and God can restore you, and God can use you once again to do great things for him. Oh, tonight, Christians, let's rise up and do something great for God so he receives the glory. A servant to this world. I pray tonight that we would not be a servant to this world, but that we would live a life in such a way where God receives glory.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.monclovabaptist.org.